from Chicago. Trey dives to the hole. At 12.1. Trey for three.
Murder. Didn't give Levine anything there.
And the long. Trey finding Capella. Trey pulls. His three ball good. Levine's knee still a problem. Vucevic.
To the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings.com. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code WMVP. You know, March Madness is right around the corner. There's already conference tournament games taking place. You should be in all the action for the NCAA tournament coming up, the conference tournaments now, and of course, the NBA action, because sooner or later, and much sooner than later, we will have NBA playoffs. I am Jonathan Hood, and Basketball is Hood. Thanks so much for downloading the podcast, whether it's the ESPN Chicago app, on Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you got this podcast. Thanks so much for downloading. If you love basketball, you have come to the right place, as the big voice guy said. And by the way, I have a very, very special announcement for you before we hear from our guest, Travis Wacker, our crazy Milwaukee Bucks fan that works in our office at ESPN 1000, loves his Bucks, Bulls and Bucks, as we record this here on Friday morning, March 4th. So we're looking forward to seeing what the Bulls can do. So starting off this podcast, you heard lowlights if you're a Bulls fan. of the last three games, because the last three games have been losses for the Chicago Bulls. The loss against the Miami Heat, the latest game that the Bulls played. Take it back, it's the Hawks losing to them 130-124. Then the Heat before that 112-99. And the Memphis Grizzlies at the United Center 116-110. Before that, the Bulls were on a roll. They beat the Hawks, the Kings, the Spurs, the Thunder, the Timberwolves, and the Hornets. So I don't have to go through chapter and verse what the Bulls' record is against teams that are over 600, over 550 to 600, as far as the winning percentage is concerned. It's not good. It is bowling shoe ugly. It's bad. But my thought on the Bulls is this. It's what I've told you a lot here on this podcast, that I believe the Bulls are a playoff team, and they will be a playoff team. But the one thing that I will not do is to tell you, well, the reason why the Bulls can't beat the Hawks and the Heat and the Grizzlies, and why they're in a free fall right now, the reason why the Bulls couldn't beat the 76ers or the Suns or the Raptors as of late is because, well, they just don't have Lonzo Ball. Oh, they just don't have Patrick Williams. They just don't have Alex Caruso. That's just bullshit. It just is. It's a reason, but it's not the reason why the Bulls are losing these games. The Bulls are losing these games is because they are just not good enough defensively. It's as simple as that. They're just not good enough defensively as of late. And they've been able to win 39 games, 39-24 as we record this here on Friday. And I take nothing away from those victories because it takes a DeRozan, it takes a LaVine, it takes Vucevic, it takes bench scoring to be able to get to where the Bulls are right now. But my point is that as you move forward through the season, you just got to be better defensively. You're not going to get resistance at the rim from Nikola Vucevic. We know that. I like the signing of Tristan Thompson, but that's a veteran that's been there and done that. And he's going to give you some rim protection, but that's not necessarily like one of the top set. It's not Bam Adebayo in there that's going to be a shot blocker, shot rearranger for you on the inside. So you have to realize what the Bulls are. The Bulls are a team that can win without Lonzo Ball. Because they have won without Lonzo Ball. That's no excuse. The Bulls are a team that can win without Alex Caruso because they have won a number of games without Alex Caruso. Patrick Williams is a great unknown. When I hear people bring up Patrick Williams, like, well, if the Bulls had Patrick Williams, man, I mean, this would be... Well, we know he's a defensive player, and we know that he's just 20 years of age. But, I mean, again, just because there's parallels of what he could be, his ceiling could be Kawhi Leonard. But we don't even know that yet. So I'm not in the excuse business in a major market like Chicago. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not wired that way because I know what good basketball looks like. I know what good teams look like, excellent teams, perennial playoff teams, championship teams. I lived through one with the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan, right? I've seen it happen with the San Antonio Spurs. I've seen this happen with the Golden State Warriors as of late. And a lot of teams that LeBron's been on, the Lakers and the Celtics in the 80s. You know, I've seen what championship teams look like when they're always on the precipice or actually knock down the championships or a run is in a certain market, a run of championships in a certain market. So when I see the Bulls, I see a Bulls team without a mega superstar. And that's where you are today in the NBA. There is no Giannis Antetokounmpo on this team. There is no James Harden. There is no Kevin Durant. No, there is no Joel Embiid. So the point is, when I look at this basketball team, I'm so happy that DeMar DeRozan is even in the MVP conversation because he deserves it. I see an article here I saw earlier today, and I hope that you check it out from The Athletic. I got papers everywhere. Hold on. I want to make sure that you guys get a chance to see this if you have a moment. And that is from John Hollinger. Yes, John Hollinger. Mid-range messiah DeMar DeRozan morphs into mid-career Dirk in rarest of NBA seasons. And they break down DeRozan's mid-range game in the Toronto years, the San Antonio years, and where he is now with the Bulls. It's a really good article. Hope you get a chance to enjoy. If you're a Bulls fan or just love the league like I do, check it out. A great piece by John Hollinger, who's really into a deep dive of numbers and interesting angles on certain players and teams. So it's really good. I just want to point that out because DeMar DeRozan, I'm happy that he's in the MVP conversation. But the one thing that I don't get is that the Bulls, especially this last game against Atlanta at State Farm, just how the Bulls are standing around just watching DeRozan, right? Whether it's Vucevic or LaVine or Dosunmu or Thompson, White, they're just kind of looking at DeRozan like, oh, you know, DeRozan's going to have these fourth quarter exploits. He's going to save us, right? And it can't be reliant on one guy. They said about a Hawks team that was red hot with Trae Young. Trae Young was the most impressive guy on the floor the other night against the Bulls. Trae Young was perfect from the foul line. He was 7-9 from three. He scored 39 points and 13 assists. And so he was the best player on the floor. Bulls don't even have a Trae Young, but they do have a savvy veteran like DeRozan. They have an up-and-coming star, superstar, and Zach LaVine. You do have Vucevic, who's a walking double-double, and he walks to the door. You do have Kobe White coming off the bench. You have Dosunmu learning on the job. Like, he'll score, but he's learning every night against some of the elite point guards, elite guards in the league. And he's getting blown by because Dosunmu, he can stay in front of his man for a certain amount of time, but he needs help. Green's a nice role player for the Bulls, but I think ultimately the Bulls just have to continue to play their best basketball. But again, defensively, right? Every team goes through injuries. If you just watch Bulls basketball, you're just focused on the next opponent, that's one thing. But as I look at the league and I'm watching games on the package and I'm watching games on network television, there's a number of teams that's going through it. And you have to lick your wounds. When your guys come back, you got to be ready to go. Because I know the next excuse is if the Bulls get bounced too early in the playoffs, well, you know, Lonzo Ball's just coming off of injury. Well, you know, Patrick Williams coming off a very serious injury. Well, I mean, who knew what was going to happen with Alex Caruso? No. Either you have the personnel or you don't. The Bulls have scoring. Here's how I know they got enough scoring. They had 124 points against the Hawks. Only problem is they gave up 130. That's as simply as I can put it. Here's Billy Donovan.
Kind of pivot and stay in front and try to force people to shoot over us. Just got to get better. And then I thought to start the third quarter, you know, that's when it all started. We just didn't get off to a very good start at all. And, I like the balance of what we did offensively. I like the fact that we had 30 assists. I mean, we scored 62 points there. And I think in the second half, we got outscored by 13 or 14 in 74-point half. And, you know, again, those shots for DeMar just didn't go tonight. And for most of the year, to your point, he's made those shots. And, you know, I've kind of been talking about this. Some of those shots don't go in, you know, at Indiana, at Washington. Those are different games. And you kind of, when you win, you kind of don't, stuff kind of disappears. And I, you know, we've talked a lot about it. And, you know, DeMar got the same kind of shots that he's been getting in a lot of other games. He didn't make it. I don't think it had really anything to do with DeMar's shots. I think it had everything to do with, we couldn't come up with rebounds free throw line. Couldn't come up with a rebound on the long three. They got it back and made a three. You know, there was just a lot of breakdowns. We fouled entirely too much. You know, the game was obviously close, but the discrepancy, the free throw line was really bad. And generally when you see a discrepancy like that, I think coaches complain, you know, and sit there and say, how can it be? You know, we fouled and we got to be better and more disciplined. We got guys jumping through the air. Shot fake, discipline, rebounding. We talked about before the game, things you can control. I thought we did a pretty good job. We fouled too much. We showed it and talked about it at halftime at the end of the second quarter. But it kind of continued that way throughout the game. And we've got to have way, way better habits, you know, against elite teams. And I think that, you know, we're learning the tough way of all these little, you know, lessons, so to speak. I thought we were much better. I thought we made some strides in that first half. I was really pleased with what we played, like I said, outside the fouling. But the third quarter, the way we came out, that's just, you know, you have to be able to sustain a level of focus and concentration, discipline for the full 48 minutes. And we just didn't do that. And they're too good of an offensive team to do that against, because they're gonna hurt you. And obviously the 3-point line with Trae Young coming down the stretch really hurt us. And he made his, and DeMar didn't make his, but there was so much more to the game than those shots, in my opinion.
Had you thrown it in the last couple of days? Did you throw it in tonight because of their size?
Yeah, I, just thought we needed some physicality, you know, around the basket. I thought we needed to be a more interesting. You know, obviously, that's who he is, and he's going to bring a motor and energy. We talked about it yesterday at practice. You know, I talked to those guys. It wasn't I didn't put a lot of stuff in. There was a few things we talked about running. I think both those guys being veteran guys, they can figure out how to play off each other. But the biggest part is, you know, how do we start off? Then they can play off each other. So, you know, again, it was the first time we did it. I think it's something we can look and go to. You know, Tristan's obviously going to be a roller and he's going to play around the basket, and it gives him an opportunity to offensive rebound. I think it's something we just got to take a look at. And I thought there was an opportunity tonight, you know, when Gallo was out there and Hunter was out there, that we can maybe take a look at it. I thought it was pretty good. I thought when Tristan came off the bench in the third quarter, we kind of got down by 8 quickly. I think they had scored 28 points like in the first 8 minutes of the quarter. And, you know, they ended up, I think, getting 34 for that quarter. But I thought when he came in, we got regained control of the game, but we got back in the game. We got up by 2, up by 4. But, you know, we just didn't sustain enough defense. And I did that to get him out there to hopefully he could give us maybe a little bit of an anchor there defensively.
Billy Donovan, the head coach for the Chicago Bulls. And don't forget, this podcast brought to you by DraftKings, DraftKings.com. Use the promo code WMVP. And again, for the NBA, for the college basketball tournaments, for the NCAA tournament, it's perfect. Check it out at DraftKings.com. Yeah, you know, some of the things that Billy Donovan said that we just heard made sense to me. You know, the Bulls only had 7 free throw attempts in that game against Atlanta. 7 free throws. And Atlanta had 28. Now, the reason why I point this out is because the Bulls were not driving the ball to the basket. You know, the free throws, you have 7 free throw attempts to their 28. That doesn't mean the refs are screwing you. That means you're screwing you if you're the Bulls. You're not going to the basket. You're not dictating the pace. Remember, you're the team that's on the road. More times than that, you're not going to get all the calls, but the team that's the most aggressive, more times than not, will be able to get whistles. And when you're a jump shooting team, when you're 14 for 26 from 3, that's great. However, on the other side, you got Trae Young going 7 for 9 by himself. Bogdanovich going 4 for 10 for himself from 3. And so that's really the difference in the ball game. You're not going to outshoot Trae Young. It's very hard to do to try to outscore him, especially when he gets hot from 3. He's a microwave like that, right? Bogdanovich coming off the bench gave the Atlanta Hawks starter minutes, and he had 20 points on 4 of 10 shooting from 3. So, I mean, the Bulls hurt themselves in that regard, right? As far as them not being able to get to the foul line. You have to sometimes slow the game down. Everything cannot be a three-pointer from the outside. And then standing around looking at DeRozan, that's the thing that irked me the most from the Bulls' standpoint in that game against Atlanta.
I don't think it's a flash in the pan, but I also don't think they're going to win a championship. I think they're here for a few years. And then, you know, as DeMar DeRozan is as fantastic as this year is, once you start creeping up to year 13 and 14 and 15, you know, that Father Time starts to knock on that door and you're not able to, 28 a game isn't really feasible, you know, anymore. Now, I don't know how much tread is left on that particular tire, but then it comes down to what the organization is going to do with the young pieces, what they can do in terms of bringing in more people who may be ready to win. We talk about that equation all the time, right? Like, you have to have these young, fresh legs, but you've also have to have people that have been through enough of the experience of the NBA grind and the playoffs to really produce when that time comes. So that becomes an organizational question as much as a player being able to sustain a question. But I don't think it's a flash in the pan. I think they could be here for a couple of years.
Yeah, I think they're here for a good time, not a long time.
Good time. Yeah, I mean, I think you've got a window of time. You got a 3-4 year window where you can be a solid team with kind of the nuts and bolts of this group.
Thoughts there from Logan Murdoch, and the last voice you heard, Rajah Bell, longtime NBA veteran on The Real Ones, one of my favorite NBA podcasts through The Ringer. You can find them on The Ringer, wherever you get your podcast. But yeah, I like that podcast. I like what Logan Murdoch and Rajah Bell talked about. So are the Bulls really contenders or not? Yes, they are contenders, but we have to know something that's real about the Eastern Conference and what's going on with this Bulls team. So with the Bulls being 39-24, as I mentioned, it's a team that is in contention, but there are teams with star power, and that's the difference, right? The Bulls can be completely healthy and be in the same spot atop the Central Division, one game ahead of Milwaukee, but, you know, one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference at the same time. So I want to just point out the standings right now, because as we record this, I look at the Miami Heat that the Bulls lost to, and then the Philadelphia 76ers that the Bulls will be playing very soon again. And now the Bulls are tied for second with the 76ers. And yeah, this is March, and they get another full month plus to be able to get through the regular season. So for a lot of these teams, it's about trying to find health and trying to get themselves in a position to contend. Could you imagine the Bulls taking on Cleveland in their first round matchup? Everything in it today, we're talking about Heat Nets. Oh man, it's for our first round matchup. 76ers, Raptors, Bulls, Cavs, Bucks, and Celtics. Of course, the play-in game is still a factor with Charlotte and Atlanta, because they're 9-10 in the East. But just the idea that the Bulls, and I've been saying this to you for a long time, the Bulls are going to be able to get into the playoffs and make some noise. If that first round matchup is against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the way the Bulls have been playing as of late, that just won't work, right? Out of the top six teams in the East, the Bulls have the worst differential, where the Bulls are giving up 110 points a game, 110.8 points a game, even though they're scoring 112. But giving up 110 points, that's a lot. That's more than the Heat. That's more than the 76ers. That's more than the Celtics. That's more than the Cavs. And, you know, and the Bucks are right there, by the way, where the Bulls are as far as giving up points. But the Bulls are just plus 1.7 in the differential and a three-game losing streak, 6-4 in their last 10. Now, they're not the only team struggling, though. I want to make sure that's clear. I mean, here the Warriors are 3-7 in their last 10, but they're not bitching about not having Draymond Green. The Suns are maintaining 8-2 in their last 10. This is without Chris Paul since the All-Star break. Devin Booker was out, and the Phoenix Suns still won the ball game the other night. And so every team's dealing with something. And so it's up to the Bulls to be able to make some stops in key areas. They have enough scoring. I said this before the trade deadline. The Bulls and scoring is fine. They have enough. But it's just about being able to play together. And when you get the added pieces, again, you roll the dice and see. But one thing for sure, a completely healthy Bulls does not necessarily mean the best team in the East. I think that's very clear. Now to the announcement, because we're going to hear from Travis Wacker from our station ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He's a huge Bucks fan. The Bucks are the NBA champion, so we look forward to hearing from Travis, getting his thoughts on the matchup. Grayson Allen, that bastard who put Alex Caruso out from 6 to 8 weeks, he's coming back to take on the Bulls. How do the Bulls handle it? Like, if the Bulls have a brouhaha, some kind of fight with Caruso, with Grayson Allen, I'll come back on here again and do just a fresh emergency podcast just to talk about that fight, if it does occur. We'll see. But I have a big announcement. Here's the announcement, okay? For you NBA fans, for you Bulls fans, on Saturday, March 12th, for the first time in a while, ESPN 1000, our flagship station, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, will have an NBA show on every Saturday at 1 p.m. Central Time, hosted by Chris Black and yours truly. That's right. It's the first time that I've said it out loud, and I'm telling you on the podcast. So I'm going to check your loyalty and see how far into this podcast you are to see if you've heard the breaking news here. Indeed, that we will have a Bulls/NBA show, and I will host with Chris Black starting at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Time every Saturday, called Fast Break. Chris and I, as you well know, if you listen to this podcast over the years, you know that Chris and I have worked together doing Bulls post games together. We've done Chicago Bulls Weekly together. And he always gives expertise. You know, we did a podcast, a regular NBA podcast for a long time, for the love of the pod. So if you're a longtime listener, you know that Chris and I have the the connectivity and the ability to be able to do an NBA show. He was just a guest during the All-Star break when we broke down the Eastern and Western Conference and some of the storylines around the NBA. So now it's happening. Danny Zimmerman says, you guys are always talking NBA. You guys are always texting each other NBA. So here we go. March 12th, Fast Break. That's the name of the show. 1 to 3 Central on ESPN 1000 and also the ESPN Chicago app. That's where you can hear the show, okay, every Saturday. So if you listen to this podcast and you're looking for fresh NBA content, Chris and I will give it to you starting on March 12th. It's not even out yet. This is the first time that I've uttered it. I don't even think Chris has mentioned it on his show with Adam Abdallah, but I'm telling you now, that's the show, all right? Travis Wacker will be our guest now from our station here at ESPN 1000. We'll get his thoughts about the Bulls and Bucks matchup on Friday night and look ahead to some of the storylines around the East right here on the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast brought to you by DraftKings. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Travis Wacker from our office at ESPN 1000, the Milwaukee Bucks superfan. The Bucks are the NBA champions. Can they stay on top? It's already been an interesting season in the NBA as we get ready for the Bulls and the Bucks on Friday night. And we talked to Travis Wacker right here on the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast brought to you by DraftKings. Hello, Travis.
Hey, how are we doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. I don't know how Bulls fans are feeling, but we're doing fine. Before we delve into the game of the century with the Bulls and the Bucks, I just want to get your thoughts about what you've seen so far from the Bucks. We saw this week, as we record this in the week of the 4th, a thrilling game against the Heat, a really solid game against the Hornets. Nets 76ers also were measuring stick games. So what do you think of the Bucks as of late?
Yeah, I think, you know, going into break, you had their game against the Sixers and obviously dropped that one. So not the way teams typically would like to go into a long break like that. And then coming out of, you know, having the week off, I think they put up a good effort against Brooklyn. It was really a game of runs. The energy in Pfizer was great, getting an all-time game from Bobby Portis. So I think, you know, there was a little bit of rust in that Brooklyn game. Just a 3-point loss. So Charlotte was really that get-right win. Controlled the game. Everybody had really solid nights. So, and then they took that, went into the Miami game, and really, really stole that game from the Heat. You know, Giannis missing a layup in the closing seconds, and then Wes Matthews tipping a pass from Hero and getting the steal, and the Bucks ultimately able to pulling that one off, I think was really more of a statement for them, mm-hmm. like making those championship plays down the stretch, obviously aside from a missed layup at the rim. But yeah, I think those were huge, and I'm expecting the Bucks to carry that momentum now into tonight's matchup at the United Center.
Well, I know one thing. I hope that you were wearing dark pants in that game against the Heat, because you looked a little concerned as I saw you the next day. Because I said, that was like the playoffs, man. Don't you want to play them 7 times? And you told me, no, you don't want to play the Heat 7 times. That scared the hell out of you, didn't it?
Man, there are really two teams that are always a thorn in our side, and it's the Heat and it's the Raptors. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is about those two teams, but they always seem to have our number. And I would much rather avoid them if we can.
Well, as far as the Heat is concerned, I was saying this to Cap going into that game against Miami. I said, you want to find out how good the Bulls are? Take on a team that's already beaten you several times in the Heat, where they're so disciplined defensively, and that you have 3 guys in the lineup, starting with P.J. Tucker, with Jimmy Butler, and you look at Adebayo. Those 3 guys can defend all 5 positions well. They're so tied together. And then from there, just the penchant to be able to knock down the 3 at the key moments, right? In that game against the Bucks, they shot 47% from 3. They hit 21 3-point shots. That was like a playoff game that I'd love to see if that's the matchup. But, I mean, the Heat
And I would agree with some that say that the Heat are the quote-unquote best team, right? The, as far as being together, you know, well-coached, they're not probably – they're more than likely won't win the East. But the point is, though, is that the way they're coached and the way they give the extra hustle plays, the way they knock down the three, I mean, they're going to be the toughest of tough outs in the East.
Yeah, I mean, every matchup in the first round of the East this year is – there being many cakewalks through this first round, or really any of the rounds in the East. Whereas in years past, you might have like one or two series that you really expect like a team to kind of take a series in four. I don't know if we're going to see any series, but I'm expecting all the series to go at least five games, if not six and seven. So it's going to make for a very interesting playoffs in the East.
Okay, so you told me, you gave me your breakdown of the Bucks. You're getting healthier. What, I mean, we know what Giannis brings. What do you think Bobby Portis has brought to the team? Does he feel different this year than last?
Yeah, I think, you know, Bobby's like that big energy guy, right? And whenever he hits one of those signature Bobby threes, five serve goes nuts. And I think the team really feeds off that energy. So he's like our energy guy, right? In terms of making a play that can really kind of change the atmosphere in the arena, at least for home games, right? And so then you kind of look down the roster a little bit and you see Brook Lopez, who's played in one game this season and is finally starting to get back out on practice court. And getting Brooke back is just going to change, like, the makeup of the team. It's going to change both on offense and defense. So, to me, Brook Lopez is the determining factor for us going forward. We know what we're going to get from Bobby and everybody else on the roster. So, you know, Bobby brings that energy, but Brooke really changes, like, the makeup of the team.
What is this text chain that Bleck and I are on with you, and you're giving us this Giannis talk for MVP? You know that's not how the league works. He's got his MVPs. That doesn't work that way.
Hey, the numbers speak for themselves. But, I mean, what he's doing, and I get, like, you know, you get the voter fatigue and everything. I'm just saying that, you know, people like to really, you know, focus in on Embiid and Jokic as really the two primary MVP candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't discount what Giannis is doing. And I guess I shouldn't say discount. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not like discounting what he's doing. But I think they are overlooking what he's doing and not really taking it into as much consideration as they should when it comes to MVP talks this year.
Well, I mean, yes, would he be an MVP candidate? For sure. You take Giannis off the Bucks, and you're in the play-in game, right? That's pretty clear, sure. Right? Okay. But it's so funny because, you know, you take Embiid off, now that Harden is there, again, another team that possibly will be in the playoffs, possibly, and then with Jokic, you know, Jokic has been very solid. I just think that it's unfortunate that the voters don't look at it the way we look at it objectively. Now, look, you're a Bucks fan, but you're also talking about Giannis being one of the top players in the NBA. If a guy is the best player in the NBA, the most valuable to their team, if it's six times in a row, if it's seven times in a row, what are you going to do, stop watching the NBA because a guy wins multiple times? I mean, if he's the best and he's the most valuable, then he's the most valuable, period, right?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's been the most valuable on any team he's ever been on. I mean, Michael Jordan was the most valuable on any team, Kobe. Like, I mean, you can't overlook him just because he's won the award two times before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's still having a great season and still finds a way to improve his game year after year after year.
Okay, so does Grayson Allen need extra security into this game against the Bulls tonight?
I think he's getting that security in the form of Bobby Portis this evening. So, you know, I'm expecting a chippy game on some fronts. So we'll see what plays out on the court. I know Tristan Thompson has his little words that he said yesterday. But we'll see how it plays out. And, you know, from all indications, Bobby Portis is going to have his back. So
what is your objective viewpoint on the Bulls so far this season?
They're a good story. Obviously, I've had really good, you know, stretches of games this season. And DeMar having, you know, an all-time performance over a few games is something that, you know, who knows if we'll ever see that again. So they've had really good moments. Obviously, two huge injuries to their team, and they've been dealing with stuff throughout the entire season, not only injuries but also COVID illnesses with players. So, you know, what we've seen from the Bulls so far isn't necessarily what they're going to be going forward once Caruso and Ball come back. So, yeah, I kind of put them in that same bucket as the Bucks, where, like, they've done well during the season so far, but we haven't seen their full potential because neither team has really been fully healthy at all this season.
That's true. I find it fascinating. Some of the there are Bulls fans on my Twitter and Instagram saying that they're afraid that the Bulls are going to drop down to where the Nets are right now in the eighth spot, because the Nets coming into this is 10 games behind Miami in the East. The Bulls are at 2.5 tied with the 76ers. Just like, look, there are no excuses. The whole league has injuries or guys that are banged up. And I just don't like the narrative because it sounds like a whiny-ass excuse when you talk about Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso. Yeah, are the Bulls better when Lonzo's there? I would say a tick better, because he's very good defensively. He's worked on it. He's worked on being a better perimeter defender, and he's very good from three. There's no doubt. But again, there are teams that are still in contention, dealing with injuries, just trying to hang on until the playoffs start. So the idea that the Bulls needed Lonzo Ball to beat the Hawks the other night, no, I don't agree with that. Like, the Bulls have enough scoring to win. They don't have enough defense to win on a regular basis, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you look at the top six seeds in the East, and the Bulls have the lowest point differential. So, you know, at a certain point, that's going to catch up with them. I mean, you look at the matchup tonight, and the Bucks have, on any given night, they can go from 120, 130. And that's just kind of what teams expect from them now. So, and the Bulls, being the team giving up nearly 111 points a game, this isn't going to bode well for them. I mean, you look at the top seven seeds in the East, and they're giving up the most points per game. At a certain point, that's going to catch up with you. You're going to run into these offensive teams like Philly, like Brooklyn, like Milwaukee, and it's going to become a shootout. And, I mean, as good as of an offense as the Bulls have, it's not enough to keep up with some of these really offensive teams.
Well, my friend, I wanted to check in with you and find out what you thought, because this is going to be, you know, epic from the Bulls' standpoint. They're going to be coming after Grayson Allen. I'm just telling you, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great matchup, made for national TV. Love that it's on the mothership tonight at 6:30 Central. I will be locked in for this one.
You just want to see the Bulls embarrassed on ESPN. That's what you want. You want to see them get under you. You want them to be the fourth seed, the Bucks moving their way up.
I mean, I wouldn't be upset at that.
I understand that, yes. I understand that. So, if we just went 1-8, right, and this is why you know, when we look at 1-8, before we even talk about the playoff game with a playoff play-in game with the Hornets, Hawks, and possibly the Wizards, 1-8, if your first-round matchup, if it stayed this way, with the Heat and Nets, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's an all-time first-round series.
So then you go Heat, Nets, 76ers, Raptors, Bulls, Cavs. Now, I've been the one that's been pounding my chest since November saying the Bulls have a good enough personnel to get out of the first round. If it's Cleveland and they go small like they normally do, that's not as easy as I think it could be against the Cavs. Yep, that's no cakewalk in the first round. I could be wrong about that, right?
No, I mean, I would agree. You know, what we're seeing out of Evan Mobley and Darius Garland this year and Colin Sexton, like, that's a really good team that, you know, some people didn't expect to be this good this year, me being one of them. But they're definitely a team that will give anybody fits in the first round.
And then, of course, Bucks-Celtics, and you should be worried because here come the Celtics now. They were dead in the water, out, done, and look at them now. Look at them. They're pretty good now.
Yeah. I mean, they're one of those teams that kind of sputtered along and now have finally found their footing. I mean, like I said, there's not going to be an easy first-round matchup in the East this year.
All right, Travis, what would you rather have? Would you rather have LaMelo Ball in the playoffs, or would you rather have Trae Young in the playoffs again?
Oh.
Because that's your 9-10 right now in the East.
Yeah. I mean, are you talking from, like, a matchup or from a league looking at, like, which star player would we rather have?
The latter.
Yeah, give me Charlotte.
Okay, you want to see LaMelo Ball on that stage in the playoffs?
I mean, I want to see him get a chance to prove himself. We've seen what Trae Young can do in the postseason already. So, I'd like to see what LaMelo Ball does on the NBA's biggest stage.
Yeah, I think that will be interesting. Like, this is no shot at Trae Young. This Hawks team has just struggled with injuries. It just has not been the kind of momentum they had last year, knocking the Knicks out, and just like they haven't had that same juice in the league like they did last year, right?
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that statement.
Yeah, so I just think it's intriguing because it's so fluid, right? The East is not the weakest anymore. It isn't because it's fascinating because of what the Nets could be, and again, we don't know when Ben Simmons is returning. I have no idea what's going on with that. I did see the Nets the other night, and it's just Durant and others, and there's no Joe Harris. He's out for the year, so that's just tough right now, right? Like, Steve Nash isn't around, so I don't know what the Nets are going to be, but if that's the 1-8, they're still going to be tough because it's Durant and the others against the Heat. I just think that's pretty good.
Yeah. Totally, and I mean, the Joe Harris injury for them hurts, obviously, a ton. But, you know, they did bring in Seth Curry in that trade. They did sign Goran Dragic, so you're going to have some perimeter shooting there to complement, you know, whoever else they have on the court. So that'll help, but if you could have had Joe Harris out there with the other two, that would have been huge. So I'm
thinking that, you know, and you said you had concerns about the Raptors and definitely that Miami Heat outfit. So just based on this Bucks team, if the Bucks don't win the East and if they have a problem with Philly or whatever and they can't come out of the East, so you're firing Budenholzer, right?
No.
What do you mean no? He should have been fired last year after the championship. He looked fired. I told you that. He looked fired. He was looking to try to fight. He's on the stage, right? The happiest moment. You got tears in your eyes. You're out there. You're happy. You got the tattoo. You're happy for your Bucks. And Budenholzer is looking around like, when's the next practice? Are we practicing in the morning? Like, you won the championship, you goof. Don't you want to enjoy the moment? He looked fired after the championship.
The only thing that concerns me about that is that sounds like tips.
Well, I mean, you saw him. He didn't look happy. Where was the smile? Right. He didn't look happy.
It's called never settling, never being satisfied.
Oh, for God's sakes, crack a smile. Have some fun with it. For God's sakes, you won the championship. Because it was such a slippery slope until you got into the finals that who knows? This could have been a Doc Rivers situation. It's like, you know what? You're just not good enough. We need somebody else. Who knows her? So as Travis is reporting to us now, if the Bucks don't win the championship, if they at least don't get out of the East, Budenholzer is fired. That's the report we have right now. Travis wants him out. Well, it's good to know.
No. You can't bring Bud back. Bring him back. He brought us a ring.
Oh my God.
He gets some more shots at it.
Oh, my God. He brought you a ring? You sure about that?
Well, he helped. I mean, we know the ultimate piece that put us over the top was Drew Holiday.
That's right.
But what's the coach? He gets a few more shots at this thing.
Okay. I just want him to enjoy life first, for God's sake. Just enjoy it, man. You got a great team here. I mean, you're the champs. Walk around. Man, I'll tell you what, if this Eric Spoelstra, the hair is slicked back, he'd be tan and just in. But Budenholzer looks like he's just been hanging out in Kenosha all year. I mean, for God's sake, have some fun.
He's been spending a lot of time at Mars Cheese Castle, apparently.
Well, that's good to know. Well, we'll see what happens here tonight with the Bulls and the Bucks. Travis, thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Ah, yes, Travis Wacker from our station at ESPN 1000. Had a little technical glitch here and there only because, you know, we're on Skype trying to do the interview and Wi-Fi and all that. But I'm glad that you stopped by. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And don't forget, starting on the 12th of March, it is Fast Break. Chris Bleck and I will be with you every Saturday at 1 p.m. breaking down the best in the Bulls and NBA conversation that you'll find right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Thanks so much. And don't forget, people, Jonathan Hood talking basketball with you. You can find this on the ESPN Chicago app, wherever you find your podcast. Look for the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings. Oh, God.